And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Your No Show, the beautiful, beautiful music of friends we meet along the way. My friend Al Lockett, who actually composed that song, similarly to some things that he had been doing all along without knowing that he was putting it together just for us. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to Your No Show. Tonight, we are going to visit with a beautiful presence in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, an awesome spiritual presence in a beautiful sanctuary nestled in an area that is just absolutely beautiful. We are going to visit with Reverend Larry Marie Heil, and we are excited to visit with her and to talk with her about things that she is excited about doing, about things that she is already involved in, as well as all of the phenomenal people that are in that area. We welcome you to the No Show. We know that you had choices and you could have done some other things, but you chose to be here with us. Reverend Larry Marie and I will discuss the importance of community, how to bridge the gap between the old thoughts and ways of yesterday, and how to blend that with the new wine of spiritual awareness that requires that we all adapt to change and flow in the direction of the good that is waiting to materialize in our worlds and the worlds of those within our circle of influence. And we are so pleased to have her with us this evening. Good evening, Larry Marie Heil. How are you? And you are coming back from somewhere playing, not playing yourself, but watching others play tennis. You had gone elsewhere to get your soul rejuvenated, and we know that you are back now and ready to roll. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm so glad to be back. I always miss Baton Rouge when I'm not here and miss my church family. And I'm really grateful to be back into the South and where I feel like I belong.
That's right. Absolutely. And we are pleased that you're home. And we're going to talk a little bit about that beautiful little center that you all that you and others are creating there, including my friend Peggy Bush, who is there with you, and many, many others doing a tremendous work in that space. So we're going to talk about all of that. I also want to thank my friend Brother Carl for joining us, and Carrie, who is also on the line with us and will be part of our extended family panelists sharing questions and talking about how it is that we all show up in the world, why we show up that way, and how it is that we are going to do that which Spirit has asked us to do. And as we move along, we're going to answer questions specifically tonight, Reverend Larry Marie, about your center is all about, the Center for Spiritual Living, Southeast Louisiana, how it is that you are wanting to move forward in that little space, why it is that you are there, what it was that made you want to create that space, how it was that Spirit was speaking to you to do that, and how all of that came about. So why don't we just start right there? How did you come to want to create this sacred space there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
Well, I was very involved in ministerial school and found out that there was absolutely no centers for spiritual living in either Louisiana or Mississippi. And mm-hmm. as much as I am dearly ingrained in this philosophy and how much it has changed my life and brought me to a much happier place in my life, it just felt sad to me that the place I grew up didn't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I decided that it was mine to do, to start a community and just to give it a chance and to see mm-hmm. what was going on with that. And I have totally fallen in love with everybody that has shown up, and we have a community that just, well, people pitch in, and it's, they're all connected in spirit and loving, and we have fun together, and we pray together, so we pray and play together, and mm-hmm. it's just been such a wonderful journey for me to have come home after being gone out of the South for over 40 years. It was, I had forgotten how gracious the people are here, and I just felt like I truly ended up home and was called by Spirit to be here in a really yeah. strange way. So I'm just grateful for that calling.
Absolutely. I call that serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. You know,
absolutely.
We know it's God when. You know it's God when. We used to say YKIN, whatever those other letters are. You know it's God when. And that would mean that when things just fall into place, when it seems that whatever it is that you need in order to move one way or the other just shows up, people just show up, all of the information that you need to do that, which is yours to do, just shows up as well. And serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality means that there are no accidents in life. Everything is working together for the good of those who are a part of that experience and allow themselves to be so. You know, you come out of a tremendous history in terms of Ernest Holmes and Emmett Fox and one of my mentors, Dr. Joseph Murphy, who wrote The Cosmic Energizer and about 45 other phenomenal books. How has their information and others served you, and how is it serving you as you serve others?
I believe that all of their influence on me has been to recognize that the God that I speak of when I talk about that presence is a presence that is within every person. And mm-hmm. all of these expressions of God that are on this planet are all God expressing in their own way. And I once dreamt of this picture that I had in my mind of this center mirror and all of these mirrors on the outside of this one big, beautiful mirror that was circular, and just looking at it. And when we look at everyone in this circle of mirrors, they're all expressing in their own way, but it's all it takes each person to make up the beauty of it. And so I truly believe that it's each person doing what's theirs to do. And mm-hmm. for me, it was recognizing that it's not the God outside of me, the God within me, that's really the key to my living a life where I'm living in joy and happy and living in my spiritual practices and recognizing the beauty outside, and at this time of spring, recognizing how all that new growth and expansion is a reminder for me to keep expanding in my spiritual world. And there's so much great writing and so many great quotes from Ernest Holmes and Joseph Murphy, just fabulous reminders to us of how we can be in the world and how each person is important.
Absolutely and unequivocally, because unless we recognize the value that each person brings to the table, and unless they also recognize that value themselves, then it is latent. It is there. It's kinetic energy, but it's not doing anything for anybody. It's just kind of sitting there and waiting on something to happen that will incite an opportunity for movement, a passion to come about. And I know that you are about the business of stirring up, as Paul said in the Gospels of Timothy, to his son Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. And that is what it is that we as ministers and others like Carrie and Carl who are on the line with us, that's what they're all about. That's what we're all about. How do you keep your energy? How do you keep yourself motivated to do that which you know is yours to do?
Well, I have a lot of prayer partners. So I have other ministers and friends that I pray with on a regular basis every week and have an opportunity to talk about things that are, you know, been stirred up within me and get ideas and get refreshed as well. So for me, my spiritual practices, the meditation, the daily affirmations, and particularly my prayer partners that remind me when I'm having one of those days that I might be forgetting, remind me of the great works that are being done, you know, within the world. I think that's really extremely important, and that's the way I keep myself moving. And I have a wonderful congregation that just is really good at affirming. I watch. It's like watching your children grow. You know, you just get so excited about the new things they're learning. And
right.
I just feel like I have a congregation that's so eager to soak up information and to expand their own spiritual lives. That it's exciting to watch that. So that just gives me plenty of energy.
That's right. That's right. And you are also fortunate to have those who are on both ends of the spectrum. You have what I call spiritual newbies, those who are just coming into this philosophy, and you have those of us who have been around for 40 years. And so that's a wonderful opportunity to share and to grow and to expand, because this field is limitless. And what we, those of us who have been in it for a while, remember after we've been there for a while, is the fact that we want to share whatever it is that is within us with others, but we only want to share it at the time that they are most open to receiving it, because to share it in advance or later than that is to miss that particular opportunity. And so I know that you are excited to have that opportunity as well. Let me bring Brother Carl in here to our conversation, Reverend Larry, and see if Carl has a question or something that he would like to say. Brother Carl, good evening.
Good evening. And yes, I was so enjoying listening to the two of you that I almost forgot I had a question, but I do have a question. For Reverend Larry, you know, I've been in New Thought for some time now, a number of years, and I was immediately impressed with what my experience was in being introduced. And then that experience has just grown, and I've been impressed by my own learning and development in this situation, and I've been equally impressed with those around me, how they seem to flourish in this New Thought universe. And my question relates to the church organization, not to the individuals in it. I'm so impressed with the whole notion, and that goes across the board with all the New Thought disciplines. I'm not picking on any one of them. But with all of them, there's a question of desirability for growth and expansion. I know that people feel comfortable and want to talk about what they are experiencing And but it seems that the church organizations that these disciplines, this kind of teaching and learning, hasn't expanded around the world to the extent that, in my opinion, should happen and should have happened. And although there's much more interest today, I still see like a hesitancy, or at least the appearance of not wanting to grow. I'd really like to get your comments on it, and I'm going to ask as many ministers that I run into the same question.
Sure, absolutely, Reverend Larry.
Well, what I know, and especially for Centers for Spiritual Living, we have a global vision now.
Yes.
And we had a spiritual leader a few years back. We've now joined together. We used to be two organizations that joined back together. So for the last couple of years, we've really been working on our joint vision. But it includes a global vision that is bringing this philosophy to 100 million people. And it's just, you know, for me, I think that I understand that desire, because when I have something that is so ingrained in me in terms of who I've become, it's like, how could I not want to share it?
Right.
So I'm really excited about the growth in other countries, particularly of the Centers for Spiritual Living throughout the last couple of years. And I'm excited about the fact that there's a lot of energy getting poured into new locations and new works and thinking outside the box, because not everybody wants to go to the standard church. So we're encouraging younger people to, you know, create church in whatever way it's going to meet other people's needs, which is great, you know. So we have some new ministers that are doing church in a very unconventional way, and they're reaching people, and that to me is extremely exciting. Exciting also that we're, you know, outside of the United States and going to places like China and India and other places where we're, you know, there's small groups beginning. So I love the concept of the global vision and the energy and actual finances that are going into building that part of our philosophy and our communities.
Excellent.
Okay, so I think I like your answer, and maybe it's just my pessimism. I guess I think it, and I wasn't looking at your church. I was looking at New Thought across the board mm-hmm. in such small groups. And and if there is an attitude within that group of sort of non-expansion, but you have made me feel more hopeful, so maybe I will experience that in the near future across the board.
Absolutely.
I absolutely believe that. I think there's a lot of prayer energy going into expanding the number of people on the planet that understand New Thought philosophy. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of prayer and a lot of energy and resources that are heading in that direction. So I think we're maybe in the baby step stage, but we're definitely tilling the ground.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Excellent. And I can piggyback that too, Carl, because in so much as I headed up the Capital District International New Thought Alliance in Washington, D.C., which of course had the states of Maryland, the District of Columbia, Virginia, and others as part of it, and it wasn't that we only had one branch of metaphysical churches, as you know, Carl, because you were a part of that. We had Unity. We had the Unitarians. We had the Edgar Cayce organization. and so many, many others. And we even had some Christian organizations that had become a part of that melting pot. But ours was a conversation of oneness, of listen, let's talk about our similarities instead of our differences. And as we discussed our similarities, we will discover that we don't even have time to get to our differences, and they pale in comparison to the good that we can collectively do for ourselves, our children, and those to come. And so that is where I see it going. I've always been a bit of a maverick in that way, not agreeing with the philosophy of the initial church setting that I was in. And I was raised by my granny, who, of course, was Baptist, and so she sent me then to Catholic school. So I was educated in Catholicism and in the ways of that. But then when I went home, I got that, and then I joined the Church of God in Christ. And so, you know, it was just always something that I found that was good about everything. And I think that that is where it is that we are now in our searching. And as ministers, we are looking for people who are able to bring folks together and talk about our similarities, move forward on whatever path it is that we need to move at the time together and make things happen. And that was an excellent question. I want to thank you, Carl. I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment, sir. And I want to go to Southern California let's see. Well, I guess I'm not going to Southern California exactly. I'm going down towards Oakland and that area, almost to Frisco and the Bay Area. Carrie Kelly, are you on the line with us? Good evening.
Sir, I am here. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this conversation. My question is where, okay, the subject of the show was about the community aspect of the New Thought. And so my question would be where or how does the New Thought Ministry plan to reach out to the disenfranchised of the community, the so-called throwaway people that, you know, have been kind of unsupported in other community reach out programs outreach programs? Because they don't necessarily fit into the acceptable lifestyle or mold or abilities in, you know, for them to be a part of things.
Excellent. Good question. Reverend Larry?
Well, I think one of the things I love about our philosophy is that in our philosophy, there aren't any throwaways. You know, everybody is, whoever they are and whatever they're doing at the time, they're doing the best with what they know. And there's, you know, there's no walk of life and there's no way of living that's better or worse than another. It's just whatever is your connection with your divine presence and who you're meant to be here. So I think one of the wonderful things about our philosophy is that everyone is welcome, all walks of life, all religions, all philosophies about however it is that, you know, it's important for you to connect with other people in the world, however you love, however you find joy, that there really isn't a right or a wrong way to do that. And so we don't preach that there's, you know, one way to God or one way to be right in the world or one way to look in the world. There aren't appearances that are important in our philosophy. It's about who you are and if you're doing what you were called to do on this planet. You know, how are you living up to what is the thing in your heart that is going to bring you to that knowing that, you know, the divine spirit is the source of everything that you have. Does that make
okay.
sense?
It does, but then it brings up the second piece of this question of what kind of parameters are in place to protect the vulnerable one from situations that we find where if you're going to be all-inclusive, you end up including some elements that may be detrimental to some people that are vulnerable. Is there a way to handle that situation?
Well, I think individually there's ways to handle that. I mean, I think that as you grow your community and as the spiritual leader of that community, you have to be aware of creating a safe space for everyone that shows up. And if there's someone within your community that is acting in ways that doesn't create a safe space, then, you know, it's your responsibility as a spiritual leader to intervene in some way and perhaps, you know, educate or provide information. Perhaps it's about having a community gathering where you talk about some of the issues that are showing up. So I think there's a lot of things that you can do. But I do believe that it's in an individual situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
it's on
right.
a one-by-one basis.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would piggyback that to say that one of the things that we do at whatever level it is that we are sharing and showing is to help people to understand that sometimes when situations and or circumstances show up that feel uncomfortable at a surface level, it is Spirit's way of allowing us an opportunity to deal with that and to overcome that and to then move through that and then to go back and help others who may have that same type of challenge to overcome it as well. I know that I have certainly done that throughout these ever so many years that I've been in New Thought with the help of phenomenal teachers who had their fifth chakras open to spirit and to being guided in such a way that they could say things that made sense to me. And then I could understand how it was that someone else was doing something and then look at them a different way. Does that make sense to you, Carrie? That through the energy of even something that seems to be negative at the time, if we change our perception of it, have a paradigm shift, if you will, then we are able to move ourselves forward. And what we thought was a real challenge becomes an overcoming. Does that make sense, Carrie?
Yeah, no, that makes sense for the for things that you can see in hindsight. But I guess where I get stuck is where if there is an ongoing, well-known situation showing up and you're going to say that you are all inclusive, there are no throwaway people, how, you know, you it's like a catch 22. You can't just throw somebody away because they're showing up in an abusive manner, but you can't allow them to continue to abuse people either.
Oh, absolutely not.
We have a saying in our philosophy that there's no spot where God is not. And sometimes that's really difficult to see. It's difficult to see where God is in some of the events that occur in the world and some of the events that occur in our community or even within our church. And I think sometimes in that time of looking at events occurring or situations occurring, it's really a call for us to dig deeper into our faith, to truly believe that God is in it somewhere, even if we can't see where God is in it. That's not to say that I would allow someone to be in my community in an abusive way. However,
right.
It is to say that everyone has value, and you know, if they're expressing inappropriately, then that has to be dealt with.
Right, and that last part, I think, was the answer to what you were looking for, Carrie,
yes.
In terms of when Reverend Larry said, you know, if somebody is being abusive, then you know what, Charlie, you're out of here. And we will still continue to work with you, but from a distance, so that if it is possible for you to overcome that situation. Sometimes people refuse to let go of certain parts of themselves, Carrie, and in that case, until they are ready to do that, they cannot be a part of this situation. And so that, though, is really on them. It is not the community rejecting them. It is them refusing to go along with the things that are necessary to be a part of community. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Okay.
Perfect.
Excellent. Reverend Larry, I want to ask you what the things are and some of the programs that you're excited about initiating there. And right now, folks, I have everybody's microphone live. So if you all say anything that is disparaging about the host, I will know it for sure, okay? But I want to leave your microphones live so that everybody can jump in. I'll still call your name, but just know that your mic is live, and so you will be able to do that. Reverend Larry, what type of programs do you have going on now, and what are you looking forward and excited about initiating in the not-so-distant future?
Well, you know, we're just starting a H1 campaign that's going to be starting in April, and I'm going to be talking about the different aspects of everyone participating and giving of their treasures and their talents and their time. And one of the things that is important to me moving forward is that on a regular basis, and I'm hoping that it be monthly, that we actually get out into the community as a community and do something that's of value to the community to help people, whether it's going to the food bank and helping there or going to a nursing home and providing some, you know, joy there, but just choosing every month something for us to do, because I believe that the growth of a new church really depends upon creating community within the church and also creating a way that we're giving back to the larger community that we're a part of. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about bringing that aspect into the community. And we did it a couple times this past year, but I'd like
mm-hmm.
it to be more regular
mm-hmm.
because I think that that's how you grow, and I also think that that's how you show that there's a presence that's caring and loving and, you know, not self-contained.
Right.
So I want us to be known, you know, as part of the community, greater community, and as doing good works out there.
Excellent. Carl, what other question or statement did you have, or suggestion even, because you've been doing this thing for a little while now that you're almost 24 years old. What additional offerings do you have, sir?
Just that, as usual, I'm enjoying myself listening more than I am talking.
Mm-hmm.
I was very impressed with the Each One campaign. I assume that means Each One do what he can, each person, by his own talents or making a contribution?
Everyone attending, caring, which is, so we want people, we want everybody to be involved. We want, what we're looking for is people that are willing to attend, because it's hard to build a community if you don't show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the A is for attending, and the C is for contributing, and that's where it comes about, you know, contributing of your time and your talent, and, you know, and, of course, we talk about tithing or contributing, doing what's yours to do is really the thing there. And then helping is the H. So helping is the part where we talk about helping within the church, but also outside of the church as well. So creating activities that extend the community feeling into a larger space. So it's the each one campaign, and the oneness is about the unity of all of us. So all of that contributes to the oneness, which is really the basis of our philosophy, that really there's only one life and we're all a part of it. And it's our life right now, so, you know, let's enjoy it and do the best we can to live it in a joyful and loving way.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who are the people that most inspired you as you were growing up and learning and moving? And have you always been involved in New Thought metaphysics, or did you have some history in another discipline as well, Reverend Larry?
Well, I kind of have a funny way of saying that I had New Thought Catholic parents, because I went to Catholic school. I was raised in the Catholic religion, but our philosophy in our home was the philosophy that I learned as part of New Thought, that, you know, we weren't shamed and we weren't blamed, and really the word sin wasn't thrown around our house very much. You know, we weren't, whenever we did something, my dad would always come in and say, well, it's going to be fine, and we'll talk about, you know, what we need to do to create something different. So I, as I looked back after I discovered Centers for Spiritual Living, I realized that, I also really grew up in a home that was just filled with love. I didn't know why all my friends wanted to show up at my house. It was because we had a house that basically was based in love and joy. And I was one of those few fortunate children that grew up in a loving home. So, you know, because I didn't realize there was any other way, because that was what my experience was. So I chose really well when I came to the planet. I chose my parents well, and they were both very, very big influence on me. My mother was just, everybody loved her, and she never had a ill word to say about anybody. And she was just such a fine example of how to overcome things that happened in her life that people would call just terrible. She was abandoned when she was four, you know, I mean, and she was just this loving person. So she was such a great example of how to be strong and how to be loving.
Wow.
So I was blessed, and I love the fact that growing up Catholic has made me realize that ceremonies and special times are important to people, and I'm bringing that. I don't think that there's a lot of that in New Thought history. I don't think we have a lot of ceremonies, and I really have recognized the importance of having ceremonies and things that feel like they honor people. Not that we don't have some rituals, but basically I think that, you know, a lot of that has taught me things that I know I've held on to, memories I've held on to, and I want to create some of that in my community. So I'm bringing New Thought ceremonies into my community, which is great. Yeah. So I'm not a Catholic that says, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not running from my Catholicism. I think that my Catholicism was a really great basis of my faith, and I love that it gave me a deep roots into the knowing of, you know, what do the Gospels say, and what is religion all about, and an ability to expand that. So I feel like I had a great great amount of roots to stand on, and I can grow from there.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things you might also do is remind me, the Unity Church is very much into reaching across the aisle and has some phenomenal programs that do that wonderfully well. So just remind me, and I will share some of that information with you that will be useful, I think, as you move along. Absolutely.
Oh,
ladies
terrific.
And gentlemen, good evening. Absolutely. We are so grateful that you all decided to stop by here. This is The No Show, and we are speaking with Reverend Larry Marie Heil, who is the minister at the almost brand new, you've been there a little while now, but the Center for Spiritual Living, Southeast Louisiana, there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And she wants for you to stop by and see her. And in a little while, I'm going to tell you what that address is and how you might reach her and share with your friends that are passing through or staying there or whatever, that there's a new phenomenal sheriff. That's what I called you the last time you were on the program, Reverend Larry. There's a new spiritual sheriff in town, and good things are happening. And it's not that any of the other folks that are there aren't wonderful as well. They are. But there's room enough for everybody to grow and expand exponentially and for spirit to be filled to overflowing. And that is what it is that we are all about. I want to tell you for just a moment about some of the RBR Network shows. Of course, you're very familiar with this particular show, The No Show, but I want to tell you that at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time this evening, we will offer the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, and that program will be hosted by my good friend and the owner of the RBR Network, James Renford Powell. He comes from Memphis, Tennessee, and this program was created to provide the commentary on the support material sent each week for 54 weeks to those who purchased the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. So you will have an opportunity to do that. On Thursday, and by the way, all of our shows are come to you at Central Standard Time because we're actually housed out of Memphis, Tennessee. But the Progressive News Weekly show is hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. And this was a long-running show formerly on another network. Daryl's guests have included well-known personalities such as my good friend Dick Gregory in Washington, D.C. And they tend to focus on hot issues and current events. These folks must be having a hell of a good time right about now, because you talk about there being some hot issues and some current events. The moderator and co-host is our good friend Cecil McDaniel, who is also the director of the Renford Broadcast Network and Renford Broadcast Radio. The Searchers Roadmap show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by my own moderator, Rhonda Harrison, from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado. The Searchers Roadmap was the first RBR show and thus is the longest-running show. Rhonda is a healer, and she often hosts shamans from around the world at her home 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. That comes on at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on Thursday. Okay, the Dream Vision 7 show, ladies and gentlemen, comes on at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time on Thursdays, and it's hosted by Deborah Bouvet from Boston, Massachusetts. Deborah controls a network which broadcasts from an NBC station in Boston and from the Internet. Her network is made up of over 100 hosts with a listener base in over 125 countries. So, yes, we are international, and we are proud of it. So please go up online on the www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford and look at all of the phenomenal shows that are available for your growth, for your listening pleasure, for your entertainment, and for your knowledge. We are here in order to support you and to make certain that you are getting exactly what it is that you want and being entertained and learning what you need to know. My guest this evening, as you already know, is Reverend Larry Marie Heil, minister of the Center for Spiritual Living, Southeast Louisiana, at 8772 Quarter Lake and Building 13, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70809. And Reverend Larry is going to tell us what the website address is for you all to go up online and take a look at that and any other information that would be helpful in helping you to get there. What time the Sunday services are, what services are offered during the week. And we haven't completed our discussion yet, but I just wanted to share that information with you right now so that you can know where to go when you are in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and are looking to feel at home and feel atonement, at one-ment with some phenomenal people, and they will make you feel that. You'll hear wonderful music, a great meditation, and I know that even this past week, they had a speaker there that was awesome. That boy was so good. Larry Marie, do you know that guy that was there last week?
I do, and I want you to know that I got a lot of texts and a lot of phone calls about how wonderful you were, Reverend Robert. I am so appreciative.
Well, I paid those people, and I am just pleased to know that my monies were not in vain, and of course I was right at home. It's always good to be there, and I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of years in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and still have phenomenal friends that are there, and it's always a space and a place for me to go and feel right at home, and you made me feel that way with your initial welcome. And folks, what you all may not realize is that Reverend Larry Marie and I have not ever met face-to-face, but we have certainly, she's been on my program. I think this is our third time being together. And, of course, we have talked by phone, by text, and by email. So we definitely know each other. Reverend Larry Marie, what would you like for people to know in terms of how it is that they can reach you all there at your center, and what your programs are that you're offering right now, and where you're located?
We are we're located right at the address that you provided, right off of Essen Lane, close to the State Archives building. So it's a wooded area tucked into the busy part of the city, which is just wonderful for me. Mm-hmm. And we have a website at www.cslsoutheastla.org. So that's www.cssoutheastla.org. And we have Sunday services that are at 10:30 in the morning. Always great live music, which is wonderful. I have been blessed by many wonderful singers and musicians showing up in the congregation and willing to participate on Sunday mornings, and people with just beautiful voices and great talent. And that always makes the service so much better, as you know. And
mm-hmm.
they can reach us by phone at 225-287-8887. And that phone is always available, so they can call us and get more information. We're going to be we're ending up some classes right now, but we're going to be starting a brand new class, which is called Foundations, which
mm-hmm.
provides, it's 10 weeks of wonderful information. Every week is on a different topic. It talks about the basis of our philosophy, and the people that are in it always get very connected. So that will be on Monday night, starting on April 13th. So I'm excited about that starting, and we're going to be doing a meditation and treatment class on Tuesday night, starting on the 14th. So
mm-hmm.
We have a couple classes coming up, and we have other things that happen at the center off and on. This coming Sunday, I'm really excited. We're going to have a service at 10:30. And then the last Sunday of the month, we usually have a potluck. And after the potluck, we're going to be going over to the city park and walking the labyrinth together because this is our month of peace. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we do outings as a community quite regularly, and that's wonderful. So tell them to, you know, I would invite them to try the website or give me a call if they're having trouble finding the website, and we will get them in touch.
Absolutely. And you can also certainly give me a jingle, and I will be happy to share that same information. Now, you have a service coming up and some folks coming in from out of town to indoctrinate you into the system here. Don't you coming up sometime soon?
I do. On April 26th, we're having a installation because I've been here over a year, and and I haven't officially been installed as a senior minister. So the chairman of our core council for the entire Center for Spiritual Living is coming, and some good friends. And so there'll be several ministers here. Dr. Reverend David Alexander, who is just a phenomenal New Thought minister. And so I'm excited about that. And we're also doing an Easter sunrise service, which is going to be fabulous. So we'll be a little bit out in the country.
Will that also be, is that going to be at the center as well?
No, but I will be putting on the website probably tonight or tomorrow the exact location so people can find it. And gratefully, sunrise isn't until 7, so it's not going to be a real early sunrise that day. So we can be grateful that it's an early Easter, so sunrise isn't quite as early as it could be.
Right. Excellent. Well, I want to bring Carrie Kelly and Carl Anderson back in to add another depth of insight to our conversation. Let me start with you this time, Carrie, since I started with Carl before. Oh, by the way, whenever it is that you all are ready, Reverend Larry, to invite soloists and vocalists in, this lady is awesome. So she is right now out at, you can speak for yourself. Where are you now, Carrie, and where do you go to services? And tell her a little bit about what it is that you do.
Well, I primarily sing or uplifting spiritual music wherever I'm invited. And so, you know, that whenever you ready for me to jump on over to Louisiana, I will be there. And so that's my story. I'm in the process of searching for a center that I that's comfortable for me. One of the things that I was going to ask about was the female leadership. I was so excited to hear that we had female leadership at your center, and I was just going to comment on how common is that in this New Thought world.
Well, I can speak for my class where I went to school, where I got my Master's of Consciousness, which is in the Holmes Institute. There were 7 of us that graduated the year that I graduated, and there was only one guy among the 7 that graduated.
Wow.
So it is fairly common in our particular philosophy. It is fairly common to have women leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Carrie. And Carl, what comments do you have, sir?
Well, I want to thank Carrie for reminding me. I've done very well in my New Thought learning to deal with unique personalities, I'll call it, that they may not mesh with mine, but they're just unique. And I had to get used to that, and I did, and I learned well. But she reminded me about the really troubling, difficult personalities that we encounter because they're here with us. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done as well. I usually leave myself or remove myself so that I don't confront it. But I need to do some internal work on that, and I will start immediately. So thank you, Carrie.
Anything I could do to help.
What are friends for, she says. That's
yeah.
Well, thank you. Really,
I think there's
really
some time. I was going to say that I think there's times in our lives where we notice things because it's that time in our life where we're ready to make some changes towards growing our acceptance button.
Mm-hmm. 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 Very well said. Very well said. That's right. And somebody said a while back, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear because the lesson has already appeared. And so what the student is trying to do is figure out what the hell does the lesson mean and who put it up here anyway. And so then that teacher comes along to help with some understanding, some direction, some guidance, and sometimes just a soft cushion to pad the ground where we're about to fall on our butts, but also to extend that helping hand, to extend that helping hand that will allow us to know that we're about to move into a new space, a new place, and do some wonderful, wonderful things. Let me thank you all, Carl and Carrie, for being a part of this evening. I certainly very much and always appreciate who it is that you all are and how you show up in the world as the wonder-filled spirits that you are. Reverend Larry Marie, let me thank you for deciding to take some time away from where it is that you are and to open yourself to giving of yourself in this way that will invite others to know that their worlds are not limited by whatever it was that they thought. So in the last 45 or so seconds, I'd like to allow you to close out and to also say a prayer during this last minute that we have as we end this session, but we are not ending our connection one with the other because that will never be ended. Please.
So just taking a deep, nourishing breath and recognizing in that breath that is the divine oneness that is flowing through us. And knowing that right here, right now, exactly where we are, the divine presence is present. Knowing that there is a connection between each of us on this planet that is enhanced by our own thoughts and our words, that is made more loving by us being more loving, and that the joy and the love that we see in the world is amplified by the joy and the love that we spread in the world. And so I'm just grateful for this opportunity that I've had to share thoughts, grateful for the invitation from Reverend Robert, and just grateful for the great questions and the great chance we have of letting people on the planet know that it's indeed one life that's God's life, that's our life right now. And so I call it good and very good, and so it is.
And so it is. We are so grateful. We look forward to having you all come back again and again and again. We know that you had other choices. You could be elsewhere, but you chose to be right here with us, and for that we are grateful. Go forth and have the very best week that you have ever had, and so it is. God bless. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. Have a good one.
Thank you
so much. God bless.
Bye-bye.